It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast. I am your host, Chris Chatwin, and I have with us today our guest, Kim Gardner. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you. Maybe first, Kim, why don't you just tell us about yourself, and we'll kind of go from there.
So my name's Kim Gardner, and I work here at the university in the accounting department. I'm originally from Southern Utah, St. George area. I got my undergrad in accounting at Utah Tech, formerly Dixie. And then right now I'm in the MBA program. I'm in Professor Chatwin's class, and I am minoring in finance.
Okay.
So I guess that's my emphasis, right?
Yeah, emphasis, right? The MBA with the emphasis in finance.
Yep, that's it.
And we're bringing you on the show because you did the dangerous thing of writing a paper in my class that was both excellent and really hit on a topic that I thought, this is a really important topic. This is something we need to discuss. So that class, because I have to selfishly plug my class now. That class is financial applications. So, you know, for our students listening, that is finance 4485, or on the master's level, it's currently 5599, but next year it'll be properly titled as 5585. So financial applications, in that course, the goal of that class is we take concepts from personal finance, we take concepts from corporate finance, and now through case studies and papers and other assignments, we apply those, right? Is that what you're doing in the class?
That's what I'm doing.
I'm describing it okay?
Mm-hmm.
The other great thing about that class now, unfortunately for Kim, who transferred here and is doing this in the MBA program, still fantastic, is for our students here at the university, that is actually the capstone or the third course in the financial literacy certificate. So anyone that's interested in that, take personal finance, you take corporate finance, and then you take this course, financial applications, which means the danger of that is you might write a paper that's so good that you're going to get asked to come be on the show. So, Kim, what was that paper you wrote? Why are you here? Why did I ask you to come be on this show? Maybe what inspired that paper? So first of all, this was a current events paper, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Said, hey, find something in personal finance that's kind of current, and I need you to write about it.
Yep. Yeah. So I kind of wrote about Gen Z and finfluencers and just kind of how that affects personal finance. And it kind of started because I was playing with my niece one day, and we were playing with dominoes, and I was like, okay, I want to video her. And when I started my camera, she got up in my face and she goes, hi, welcome to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah, anybody that has kids, you might have, I've definitely seen this with my kids.
Uh-huh. And she tipped over the dominoes, and before they even like fell, she came to me and she's like and subscribe. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this girl is never going to know life without internet. She's never going to know life without the iPhone or Amazon. And I was like, what is going to happen to her? And she's going to learn more from a screen than she ever will from me. So what am I going to do for her? What am I going to tell her? And that just kind of prompted this research about Gen X and what they're doing with their personal finances as far as social media goes.
Okay. And what did you find as far as social media goes? And you used a key word there, finfluencer.
Finfluencer. So a finance influencer.
That's what I aspire to be.
It sounds like the dream, right?
Yeah, it sounds like the dream. I mean, I don't know how many of the younger generation these days, when you ask them what they want to be in life, it's an influencer.
Mm-hmm. No one wants to do that.
Yeah. But a finfluencer, that's my new title at the university. I'm going to have to go talk to HR or somebody and have my official title changed.
Well, it all starts with this podcast, right?
Yeah.
This is your base.
That's right. I forget here we are on the podcast. I'm not sure what the outreach is here, but maybe we should start live streaming this and putting it on YouTube as well, or TikTok or whatever the kids are using these days.
But yeah, we're talking about Gen Z. So Gen Z includes the ages of 12 through 27. So kind of a big range there. And a stat that I found was that 49% of Gen Zers are using social media as their primary financial education resource. And that surprised me. I thought, yeah, of course we're going to look online for our information, but I didn't know that they were using social media as a primary.
Not as a, mm-hmm. like, so either seeking it out directly mm-hmm. or it's just being bombarded, you know, through the ads and
yep.
the algorithms that these social media things, you see this, I'm just like aging myself by, this is why I needed you on the
it's
show.
It's on your For You page. Yeah, that's all you have to say.
On my full, oh, okay. See, this is why I needed somebody smarter and more in tune to come talk about this topic. I read it. I said, this is actually very helpful. I've obviously heard about, you know, some social media influencers that have gotten in trouble. You might talk about them today.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed you here to walk me through what that means. So Finfluencer. So 49% of Gen Zers. So you said that's 12 to 27.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I'm going to go out on a limb and say, even some people that are older than that, even though they may not fit in Gen Z, probably still turn into social media.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what does this really mean then, if we're getting our financial advice from social media?
Well, anyone can put it out there, right? So it's kind of like the Wild West out there. Anyone's just putting their opinions, and you don't know what's really qualified and what's unqualified. So it's kind of up to us to decide that, and that can be dangerous, especially when we don't have a ton of like financial literacy behind us.
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, I could have had a whole slew of students in here with me because there were so many great papers. One of the papers talked about just that, talked about financial education in high schools
mm-hmm.
and how inadequate it is really throughout the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Idaho, for example, I'm not 100% positive on how it is in Utah or how it was for you growing up, but here in Idaho, we just barely passed a House bill that basically said, every student in high school has to take a financial literacy class before mm-hmm. they graduate.
Yeah.
And prior to that, it was just a 1-hour requirement to get your diploma. Okay, so we're kind of lacking this basic financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we turn to social media, mm-hmm. as we unfortunately do for so many things, either because we're just bombarded with it.
Right.
Or, you know, we're just so attached to it that we can't disconnect.
And there's lots of pros, too. Like, it's really convenient. It's really engaging.
Absolutely.
Like, it's fun.
Yeah. Oh, man, I could talk about so many things. I'm going to try and focus. But, yes, it's fun. It's engaging. I mean, for anyone interested out there in, you know, the research and the literature, want to read some papers, there's a couple of great researchers that do a lot of write a lot of academic papers, a lot of research on retail investors and something that we call attention-induced trading. And mm-hmm. really, they talk about this is how Robinhood works. It tries to grab your attention. It tries to gamify it. Tries to make it fun,
mm-hmm.
which can be both good and bad. If it's fun, we want to listen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to be a Finfluencer in the classroom, this is something I got to work on probably. I'm sure I got a lot of students out there like, this is very dry, very boring. So I got to work on that. How do I make it fun? How do I make it engaging? Okay. So that's the advantage, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be fun. It can be engaging. It can draw us in.
Mm-hmm.
And the downside you mentioned, it's unregulated. We don't know what you're posting.
Right. And there's a few regulations out there, like Instagram or TikTok, they'll have their broad like guidance, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really cover financial information. They're really broad. It's just not going to cover everything.
Well, and there's, and not only that, it's broad. It's not going to cover everything. There's so many accounts out there that how do you
police the whole internet?
Yeah, exactly. And that's an impossible task in and of itself. You had another statistic in your paper. I don't know if you're going to pull it up. I'm going to steal
it.
This came from an article issued by the CFA Institute. So for those unaware, the CFA Institute, that's a Chartered Financial Analyst Institute. So that's kind of the – CFA is kind of the top designation in finance. Involves a whole lot of coursework, some very brutal exams, and a pretty big ethics requirement. In this, they were talking about only 20% of Finfluencer content having any kind of disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean, the disclosure that you mentioned?
So we're talking about these Finfluencers disclosing like their professional status or issuing some type of warning or just sharing that they're being compensated for what they're producing. So just kind of any disclosure at all.
Any disclosure.
And they weren't doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
So not stating, hey, I currently own this, mm-hmm. or hey, I'm being compensated by this company mm-hmm. in order to talk about this, or hey, I have absolutely no education in this mm-hmm. area. I just think it's really cool.
Yeah, it could be anyone.
To steal, this is terrible, but to steal a line from a social media influencer who might be on a Reddit board that some may be aware of is, I just like the stock. Which goes back to the whole GameStop fiasco.
Yes,
which
it does.
Is very pertinent to this area we're talking about here.
What was it, Wall Street Bets?
Wall Street Bets. That would be Roaring Kitty. Roaring Kitty, who just repeatedly said, I just like the stock.
Yep.
And listen, he made a lot of money. A lot of people that took his advice made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, what gets forgotten? Yes. What gets forgotten is, you know, the whole dumb money, the dumb money movie mm-hmm. that talks about it, the whole story behind it. It focuses so much only on, we're taking down Wall Street. We're sticking it to the hedge funds. We're sticking it to the billionaires. When what is totally forgotten in this whole mess is so many individuals, retail investors is what they're called, mm-hmm. what we're called, who followed that advice either too late, okay, or after the hype, whatever it might be, and lost a lot of money. And that's where that harm comes from, is jumping into something you're not prepared for. You don't know the risks. You're late to the party, which is so often the case, and you get hurt. So there's the danger from social media and just following it. And I think we're all prone to that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, yeah, if I had the opportunity to make a lot of money, I'm just going to ignore it. Like, we want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know that we're going to be able to retire. And I tell my students, you know, from personal finance on up, hey, I can promise you, I can teach you the tools that will make it so that you'll have as much money as you want to have, really. Like, you can be very well off. But unfortunately, that's going to just take a lot of time. And we'd all prefer for it to be tomorrow.
Yeah, in a 60-second TikTok.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
We want a 60-second TikTok, and we want
all the answers
all
for
the
rest
answers.
Of our life.
And we want the money now. And unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. How do we take a step back? You said there's good and there's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we don't completely ignore it. Okay?
No, there's good out there. So.
So how do we take that step back? How do we approach that with prudence?
I think you said it right. You take a step back. Like, you take everything that you're seeing and you take it at face value, right? And you put in your own personal experiences in with that information, because this is your personal finances and it's going to be up to you to decide what you're going to do with this information. So that one paper that we talked about from the
From the CFA Institute,
yep.
Yeah.
From that one, it talked about three different things to look for.
Okay.
And the first one was motivations. So look at the content creator and what are their motivations? Are they making money? So that's one thing to look at.
Awesome.
And then the second one was their qualifications. So are they qualified at all? Do they have expertise on the topic? And can you verify it? Like, can you go and see that they actually are what they say they are?
Yeah. I think that's great because, for example, I stand up in a classroom, right? What is my motivation? Well, I am financially compensated to be here. Okay. Now, I do try and let my students know that I love personal finance because it's the course I took many, many years mm-hmm. ago when I had no clue what I wanted to study that really influenced my future path. I have a CPA license, for example.
You're qualified.
Okay. Now, does that mean that I'm an expert in all things? Absolutely not. And I do try and encourage my students, hey, just because I say it, don't leave this classroom and think that, well, my professor said it, so that's what I'm going to do. Because I also encourage that personal finance,
mm-hmm.
and I'm certainly not the only one that feels this way. This is actually a very common saying among fiduciary advisors and in this world, is personal finance is more personal then it is finance. And then if you want to verify, hey, is Chris Chowan really a CPA? You can get on CPA Verify. You can actually verify I've got a license. And along with that, you can actually see if there's any, ever been any complaints against me and other filings. So
yeah. So there's ways to check these people out. And the last thing that they talked about, which kind of brings this all back together, was consistency. So they want you to look for, is this information consistent with like the most up-to-date resources when you cross-reference them? So again, it's just looking at that big picture. Does it make sense? You know, just...
But now, Kim, now you're making it hard because I just wanted to watch that 30-second ad and be told where to put my money. And now you're telling me, approach this with some skepticism.
Yeah.
Maybe do some research, maybe cross-reference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe put some effort into it, right? Okay. We don't like that. We don't like putting some effort into it.
We certainly don't. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we learn from experiences, and unfortunately, usually we learn from bad experiences,
right.
And that is what leads to our increased skepticism, our mm-hmm. increased scrutiny, our applying some key questions, some key principles.
Yep.
I think that's important.
So look at the big picture, and I think just give yourself some credit. Like, you do know a lot, and I think we get kind of just, we're not very confident about what we know, and we feel like someone else will make this decision better than we can.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. They're not you.
They're not you. Yeah, and you know, that kind of circles me back around, because, you know, right now it's tax time. I still do a few tax returns. I actually have a client who, we're just going over their tax return,
mm-hmm.
okay? And they ask me a lot of questions. Where does this number come from? How did you get this number? How did we arrive at that? And they were apologizing to me. And here's the thing. I told them, don't apologize. This is your tax return. This is your income. You need to make sure you 100% understand where it comes from, because A, it does a few things. It A, protects you from, hey, if I'm being fraudulent,
mm-hmm.
okay, it helps you understand it better. It helps you understand where your money comes from, where it's going, how you can save yourself. But it's that whole thing that even an expert, you know, to nobody can see air quotes here, but even an expert, you want to question that to make sure you understand it, to make sure you're comfortable, whether it's taxes or whether it's an investment opportunity or whatever it might be. So, which you have a hard time doing if it's just your influencer.
Yep.
So, well, here's why, as I read this paper, I was like, this is a great topic. We need to talk about it. And that is because actually end of 2022, there were 8 social media influencers. I think there were 7 of them on Twitter and one of them from somewhere else that were charged by the Securities and Exchange Commission for what's called a pump and dump scheme. So for those who aren't aware, what does a pump and dump scheme means? It means I get on social media or wherever else it is, and I say, I absolutely love this company. I'm investing in it. I think you should too. It's going to do this. You know, here's our potential price target. When the reality of it is, there's not the proper disclosure that, mm-hmm. that you mentioned. The reality of it is, I actually hold that right now. And I'm talking about it so that a lot of people will rush out and buy it. And as that demand increases, it drives up the price. So I can then sell it. So I pump it up and then I dump it.
Mm-hmm.
And those 8 social media influencers pumped that up to the tune of $100 million over all various holdings.
Wow.
And ended up being charged and going to prison for that. And so we might say, well, those are terrible people. But unfortunately, you know, those are things we can come across where it's, hey, they're talking about this. And hey, I remember GameStop and
yep.
doing all that. Or hey, I remember this. And we get excited
mm-hmm.
and we think, okay, I got some money.
Yeah.
Let me throw it in there.
It's totally real. Like
yeah.
you have hedge funds that they have specific jobs now for mm-hmm. people to just go look out for these situations to protect a hedge fund because there's so much influence.
And here's the other scary thing
yeah.
is this isn't just social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every year the Securities and Exchange Commission issues their annual report in which they talk about financial frauds and financial misusings and settlements that take place. And there's always, you know, these well-established banks and brokers and other companies we've heard of. Over this last year, several involving cryptocurrency that we're aware of. Even celebrities So Kim Kardashian settled with the SEC, NBA Hall of Famer Paul Pierce, among many others, settled with the SEC over talking about or marketing for various cryptocurrencies without properly disclosing the compensation they were receiving. So they were fined and paid that fine. I mean, how many of us watch a commercial and it's, hey, that's Matt Damon. I love Matt Damon. Oh, maybe I'll fortune favors the brave here, so maybe I'll be brave. How many of us have our favorite celebrities or influencers or whatever, our athletes, whatever they might be, you know? And it's not just financial. I mean, we might sign up for State Farm because we love Arnold Schwarzenegger and we love that new commercial. I mean, that's the world we live in.
We like Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, or we like Jake. It's better like Jake. So there is a ton of good. There's a ton of bad, pure fraud. And then there's just kind of that gray area where it's, hey, these are companies trying to do legitimate things, but I need to make sure I know myself.
Yep.
So best advice we can give people is what? We already said to take a step back, but you know, we need kind of those, what do we need to do?
Be discerning. Check out those three things.
Let's repeat the three things again for all of our listeners.
Yes. Okay. Their motivations.
What is the motivation of the person that is talking about this product or whatever it might be?
Okay, that's the first one. Second one, qualifications.
Are they qualified to talk about it?
And can you cross-check that and verify that they are who they say they are? And then the last one was consistency. So is that information consistent with everything else that you're hearing? Is it up to date? So those are the three things.
And then, of course, take personal finance with Chris Chowan.
Yeah.
And financial applications. So it's like, hey, I learned the concepts in personal finance. And in financial applications, I got some practice actually applying these through real world case studies and current events papers that I was asked to write. And I honed or developed some skills, right, Kim?
Right.
So I appreciate that, Kim. Kim was not compensated in any way.
Yeah.
We have
full
to disclose
disclosure.
That. And of course, my motivation in this is, hey, the more students that take my class, the greater chance I have of continuing to do this.
Yeah.
So
it's a great class. Take his class.
Oh, I thank you.
Yes.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't take just a couple of minutes to, I mean, we've talked about social media, but just to talk about some of the other schemes, scams, and other scary things that are out there. I think most people have heard of a Ponzi scheme, especially, well, hopefully Bernie Madoff is not out of our minds yet, but of course it's been a while now and we tend to concentrate on recency.
Yep.
Understanding too that like Bernie Madoff, for those unaware, you know, huge fraud, $60 billion plus Ponzi scheme. That didn't start off fraudulent. You're from the St. George area. There was about 10, 15 years ago, a big real estate scam out of the area. That didn't necessarily start as a scam. It's investments gone wrong and those running it, instead of owning up to the mistake or the downturn,
It just snowballs.
Yeah, it snowballs into fraud, where it's now we're taking money to try and keep this thing going and lying about it. We had that happen in Pocatello with financial currency exchange, foreign currency exchange. These things happen. So we have to have that skepticism. We have to ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask your advisor or your accountant or whoever's helping you. Mm-hmm. How does this benefit me? Where does the money go? How do I earn money, et cetera? But then the big one right now, this is huge. It's just starting to like grow and grow and grow. I happen to know that the FBI is doing a whole lot of trainings on it now, but it's a scam called pig butchering. Okay? Pig butchering, what it really means is the scam involves trying to kind of reel in a whole bunch of people. Okay? And just like a piglet, you fatten it up. So you kind of build it up, you get it going, you kind of cultivate this for a long time, and then you slaughter the pig. So they steal all your money. So how it starts out, this particular one, is typically with like a wrong number. You get a text message from a wrong number. And
happened to me yesterday.
It happened to me a week ago.
Yep.
So the worst thing you can do is just keep giving into it. I mean, it's one thing to say, sorry, wrong number. Okay? It's another thing to then keep engaging in their conversation. Because what they're trying to do is kind of reel you in slowly with all kinds of stuff. And before you know it, they are getting you to not necessarily send them money, because most of us would say, well, I'm not going to send you money. Like, that's just not right. But turns into, let me show you how I've been so successful. You actually set up your own account, and here's the link. And so it looks like it's real and turns out to not be. So obviously tons of financial scams. We'd have to have a whole episode probably talk about financial scams. What we want to get out there today is, man, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yep.
And financial and otherwise. And so we just need to be careful.
Yep.
Don't necessarily get off social media, but just be careful with social media.
There's no like avoiding it. Like, yeah, this is our lives.
It is our lives, for better or worse. Lots of good, lots of bad, and mm-hmm. we just have to be prepared for it. So.
Yep. And going back to my niece, I mean, that's what I would tell her. I'd just tell her, you know, diversify your resources. What you're seeing out there, just like you would diversify your investments, you know?
Awesome. That is some fantastic advice. Diversify your resources, oh, yeah, just like you would diversify your investments.
I think that's a
fantastic note to sign off on. I mean, that should be like the tagline of this episode. Diversify your resources, just like you would diversify your investments.
Yep.
Well, Kim, I hope you'll continue to write awesome papers, even if it means you get invited onto a show again.
Well, my next paper won't be as good, I promise.
But I really do appreciate you being willing to come on the show and just talk about this, because it is important.
Yep.
And I hope it's found to be important to everyone listening. And Kim, again, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And everyone, until next episode.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard every third Monday at 7:30 p.m. on KISU FM. Shows are produced at KISU Studios in Pocatello at Idaho State University, with editing for this episode by Shelby McGovern. Audio of this and all past episodes of Bengal Financial Literacy can be found at KISU.org from Spotify and other selected podcast services. Music was produced by Joseph Emmanuel under the direction of the ISU Commercial Music Program. Major funding support for KISU local programming comes from the Associated Students of Idaho State University.